Yeah, thank you. That would be me. And we want to thank the award-winning bluegrass singer Billy Thibodeau for that rousing opening ditty. That was we appreciate that week after week. Hey, nice to have you folks with us tonight here in Maine Outdoors. We have a good program, I think, lined up tonight. And if you'd like to be on our program tonight, we have a toll-free statewide number. And what is that number, Norm?
That's 1-800-966-1039.
Now, did you have to write that down, or did you have it memorized?
Both.
Yeah, I did.
I wrote it down for insurance.
Oh, yeah. Diane has to. She writes it down.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're going to introduce the guest, but first the crew who make the show possible. Crew singular tonight. He's the man behind the toggle switches and the potentiometers in there in the operations center, and he's also the guy behind that answers the telephones. And tonight he's wearing a third hat. He's going to be acting as our guest co-host tonight on Maine Outdoors. Welcome, Norm Plourd.
Good evening, everyone. And the sky's falling.
Yeah, maybe it is. It was raining hard this afternoon, didn't it?
Yeah, it started back up.
Yeah, I got to go bail out the boat again.
I was talking to my sister up north, and she said it was pouring all afternoon up there.
Yeah, it has been. But it's good for the gardens, good for the tomatoes. Yeah. Our guest tonight is going to be, we have two guests, two telephone guests. Bob Winginick, who is the president of the VZ Salmon Club, has been on our show a number of times. He's up to speed on the condition of the river, the Great Penobscot River, and all of the new fish that are making their way upriver. And he's going to be on with us to tell us in detail a little bit about that. Then after our trivia question and our commercial break, we're going to hook up with somebody named Ty Flores. Now, if you follow the mixed martial arts known as MMA, if you follow that, then you may have heard his name. He's a light heavyweight champion. He's not at the top of the heap, but he's near the top. And he also happens to be, I found out by accident, he's a reader of the Northwoods Sporting Journal all the way out there in Denver, Colorado. And he's also a successful bear hunter. He's written an article about bear hunting for the Sporting Journal. And I thought it might be nice. I've never met an MMA fighter before. I wouldn't want to meet one in the ring, but it's okay to meet him by the magic of telephone, and he's going to be on with us. If you ever had questions to ask an MMA fighter who happens also to be an avid hunter, this is your opportunity to do so. His name again, you can look him up. We looked him up, good-looking guy, Ty Flores, F-L-O-R-E-S, and he is... I'm not sure where he raced, but according to the source, he is up on the top and headed for success. And he'll be with us after the trivia question. A couple of other things. I want to remind you, you're listening to us tonight, as every Sunday night, on the Voice of Maine News Talk Network. That's 101.3 and 103.9 in the Queen City. And if you'd like to listen to a rewind of our podcast, if you missed a show and you'd like to hear it played back, you may do so by going to WVOM-FM and just click on podcasts and Maine Outdoors, and you can listen to all of our past programs. Also remind you, too, that we're streaming worldwide. We remind you that of each week. That's important. We haven't been for a long time, but we are streaming now. And we'd like to say hi to streamers who listen every week, our loyal streaming listeners, Tony, down in Chicopee, and, of course, Eric out in Ohio. And if you're a long-distance streamer, if you're listening to us across the globe somewhere, we'd love to hear from you. And if you're far enough away, we might even send you a Sporting Journal cap. And you can email me at vpaulr@tds.net. You can check my address in the Sporting Journal, but it's vpaulr@tds.net. If you're a long-distance streamer, we'd love to hear from you. And remind you, too, that the show is sponsored every week in part by the Northwoods Sporting Journal. I think it's Norm's favorite outdoor publication, although he never told me that, but I just assume that.
Yes.
No?
No, yes.
Oh, okay, yeah, okay.
A lot of good articles.
All right. Anyway, if you'd like to get a subscription to the journal, you may do so by calling Alicia at our office during the week at 732-4880. That's 732-4880. And be sure to check out our new digital magazine subscription. If you live in Canada, in the Maritime Provinces, and you have been unable to get the journal because of the high postage rates, here's your chance. You can get it online for $15 a year. Just go to our website, and it will tell you how to sign up for a digital subscription. A couple other things here in Outdoor Digest. Remind you, too, that any deer application process in the state of Maine begins on June 27th. That's the end of next week, right?
That is Thursday, I believe.
That is Thursday, okay. Anyway, it's your chance to apply for an any deer permit, and I think it goes for about a month, but you can begin making application as of June 27th. Let's see. We want to also remind you that we are also looking for occasional co-hosts on this show. If you know anybody who knows fishing and hunting and likes to chat and talk, we'd love to hear from him or her. And you can give me a call at home at 732-488-0. Oh, no, the way, that's the office number. My number is, what is my number, Norm?
I don't keep track of it.
No, 745-3133 if you're interested, or you can email me and tell us a little bit about yourself and why you'd like to perhaps be an occasional co-host on Maine Outdoors. Well, on that note, I think it's time to bring in the band.
Got to find the band.
There they are.
I'm the big boss bass.
Yeah.
And you work for me.
Yeah. All right. We got the yeah down pretty good. We have, we're going to be talking as soon as you get a hookup with us. We're going to talk to Bob Wojcinek. And you're going to dial him on the phone there, right?
Actually, he's with you.
Oh, he's there. Are you there, Bob?
I'm here, Paul.
Oh, good evening. Welcome to Maine Outdoors. How are you?
Always glad to be here.
Nice to have you on board. How you're at the VZ Salmon Club as we speak?
I'm right here at the beautiful VZ Salmon Club enjoying the river and the eagles that are going by right now.
Are they? Yeah, well, great. Look, we're hearing some good news about the salmon run up the river. Can you give us any details on that, Bob?
Well, the details that we got from, Jason Valerie of Marine Resources, it was a weather-related slowdown probably this past week. We got almost 1,100, about 1,072 on the Atlantic Salmon passing the Milford Lift as of the other day.
Wow.
That very close to last year at this point. And Jason, and rightfully so, blaming the warmer water temperatures of the past week, has slowed it down a little bit.
Yeah.
And maybe this rain we got coming now will turn it around. And so it's a predictable run. The interesting thing is the shad have slowed down a little bit. We're still over 10,000 shad, and some big female shad were being caught there at the river below Milford.
Yeah.
People who tried. So it's been a good year for all fish all the way around.
Okay, and so the shad run has been pretty healthy as well?
Yeah, over 10,000, very healthy. It's slowing down now, a few shad showing up.
Yeah.
But that's expected at this time this year. Striped bass are a surprise. There are none. Basically, one has passed the Milford Lift so far this year.
What's the story on that, do you think?
That I don't know.
Huh.
Striped bass are variable up and down the East Coast right now.
Yeah. Yeah. I saw a May 30th report on the, I think from the Department of Marine Resources, Bob. And I was kind of surprised to learn from this report that as of the end of May, there were over 5 million river herring that ran up the river. That's incredible, right?
That's a big success story, and all the lakes that are accessible will have spawning runs of herring. And someone told me a week or so ago they were out on Pushaw Lake, and the shoreline was alive with herring. Literally, they couldn't figure out what was making the commotion on the shore, up and down the shore, and he paddled in, and it was all herring.
Yeah. That's the same thing as an alewife, right?
Yes. It's the river here.
Yeah. What are your thoughts on that, good or bad?
Well, good, because they're providing the needed forage biologically for a lot of critters, and hopefully will take some of the pressure off the Atlantic salmon with some other food source available when that is available in the lakes and ponds. So I think it adds a whole new dimension to the ecosystem in terms of the food chain and activity.
Yeah, that's good. Do you want to put in a little plug for the VZ Salmon Club? How are things going with your organization, Bob?
It's going very, very well. We're always looking for more members and people to come help out here. It's a wonderful place to be on the river. And if you haven't been here yet, 30 Old County Road, come on down, sit on the porch, have a cup of coffee or other favorite beverage, and enjoy life, and hopefully someone will be here to show you in if you're not a member yet. And we'll contact us through the website, and somebody will arrange to meet a new person here just to give them the cook's tour, so to speak.
All right. Are you still El Presidente?
Oh, I'm not El Presidente. No, that's Andy Fitzpatrick. He's not here right now. I'm just his number two man behind him.
Okay. All right, so Andy's wearing the president's hat. Well, good for him. That's great. And have you had a chance to do any other kind of fishing other than chasing shad?
I haven't been able to chase very many things recently, but hopefully that will change sometime in the future. I got to get my boat in the water first.
There you go. Well, all right. Good to chat with you, Bob, and we appreciate the opportunity to chat with you. We'll have to get you in here in person sometime to chat.
Like to talk more. You have a great day.
Yeah.
Take care.
Okay, you too. Thank you, Bob. All right. That was Bob Winginik, who's the number two guy there at the VZ Salmon Club. And apparently, Norm, it looks like that's a pretty healthy salmon run. Atlantic salmon, he said over 1,000, right?
Nothing to complain about there,
yeah.
I would think.
Yeah, that's good. So maybe there's hope for that. Maybe you and I may not see the day, but our kids and grandkids may be catching Atlantic salmon again someday on the river. Who knows?
That would be the hopes.
That would be nice, yeah. Okay, our other guest tonight, as I said, is going to be a fellow named Ty Flores, who is an MMA champion fighter. And he is from Denver, Colorado, as I recall. And he's also a avid bear hunter and has written an article, a really good article called Beyond the Trophy, which will appear in the August issue of the Sporting Journal. And now I'm going to have a trivia question before we take our first break. This is going to be good for a Northwoods Sporting Journal cap. And you may think, well, gee, a cap is a cap. Everybody's got a cap. But these are special. We have one. We have a Hunter Orange cap that really stands out. This has an embossed buck deer on the side of it. It's one of those. It's not a cheap hat. It's one of those pricey hats. It's got all the stitches in the cover and so forth. Anyway, it's a great hat, and we're going to give it to you if you know the answer to Norm's question.
And that question is, what single piece of modern camping equipment has sold more units since its invention than any other? Again, it's what single piece of modern camping equipment that has sold more units since its invention than any other?
All right. 1-800-966-1039 is the number. You think about that, and we'll be right back. Okay, we are back with Maine Outdoors, and we have a beautiful premium Northwoods Sporting Journal Blaze Orange hunting cap that we're going to send to you if you know the answer to the question. We want to know what single piece of modern camping equipment has sold more units in this country since its invention than any other. And we have a couple of callers backed up. Let's take a call. Good evening, caller. You're in Maine Outdoors.
How you doing?
I'm doing fine. How about yourself?
Good. I'm going to say tent.
You say what?
A tent.
A tent. Okay. What is your first name, sir?
Andy.
And where are you calling from, Andy?
I am calling from Rumford.
Oh, from Rumford. Okay. I was over there a couple weeks ago. I hadn't been there for years. I'm a Maine boy, but I hadn't been there for years. I was impressed with, it looks like they refurbished the City Hall there on Main Street in Rumford. What a beautiful building that is.
Yeah, they've done a lot of work over there on the island. Yeah.
When did this all happen? Last 10 years or so?
Within the last few years, yeah.
Yeah, did a beautiful job. Something to be proud of, yep. I'm sad to tell you that you get a raspberry for that answer.
Okay.
Andy, it's not the right answer. It was a good guess, though. They make a good tent. I have one, yeah. Anything else? Anything else on your mind tonight besides trivia questions?
Nothing right off hand.
Yeah. Are you a sportsman, outdoorsman?
Oh, yes, I am.
Yeah, do you hunt or fish?
All of the above.
All of the above. Have you been fishing yet?
I haven't. I've been too busy working.
That's not good, Andy. You got to make time.
That.
You know what they say.
That's right. That's right.
What's that old proverb? All work and no play. Yeah, you got
right.
to take. What do you do for a living?
Working in a paper mill.
Oh, you work at the mill, okay, and
yeah.
Not more than 40 hours a week, right?
Yeah, sometimes.
Yeah, okay. Well, you got to make some time, Andy.
I do. You're right.
Go out there and wet a lion. Okay. Well, good luck to you, guy, and we appreciate you listening to the show. Okay.
You're welcome.
And
good night.
No hard feelings, right?
Right on.
Okay, take care, guy. All right, that is not the right answer. Good guess by Andy. They do make tents, but that's not the answer we're looking for. It's a piece of camping equipment that has sold more units since its invention than any other. Let's take another call. Good evening, caller. You're in Maine Outdoors.
Yeah, I would think that it would be a handheld compass.
A handheld compass. And what is your name? What is your name, sir?
Ted.
Chad?
Ted.
Okay, where are you calling? Can you spell that? Did you say Ted?
T-E-D, Ted.
Oh, Ted. Okay, Ted. Where are you calling from, Ted?
Amity.
From Amity. Oh, okay. Up there in the big county. Are the potatoes are the potatoes in blossom yet?
Not yet. They're up. Well, after all this rain, maybe they will be.
Yeah, you get a little sun, that could turn things around. Hey, you know, the good news is that you're in Amity. The bad news is that's not the right answer. you thought it was a compass. They make a lot of things, that's right. But there's one thing they made that is just a has been a big seller for years and years and years. It's not a compass. But we
okay.
All right, Ted, but thanks for calling and thanks for playing the game. We appreciate it.
Okay, thank you.
Take care, Ted. Yep, bye-bye. All right, I didn't think that was going to be that tough. We say again, we want you to tell us what single piece of modern camping equipment has sold more units since its invention than any other.
You have another caller.
All right, let's take it. Good evening, caller. What's your first name and where are you from?
Hey, my name's Rick. I'm calling from Leeds.
First name again?
It's Rick.
Oh, okay.
Short for Richard.
Okay, Rick, and you're in Lee. What do you think the answer is, Rick?
I'm in Leeds, yep, next to Turner. And, well, since the tent was a good guess, I'm going to go with the sleeping bag.
A sleeping bag.
You think you need more sleeping bags than one tent.
You're in Leeds, Maine, L-E-E-D-S. It's over there in Turner.
Right
there. Yeah. You know, I have a column weekly in your newspaper over there. I don't know if you knew that.
I did not know that.
What's the paper over there? The Turner? Right there. Can't remember the name of the paper. Anyway, a sleeping bag is a very good guess. Unfortunately, Rick, it's not the right answer.
Oh.
Dagnabbit, I wanted you to win, too. You know, we like to take care of this so we can get to our guests.
The Country Courier, that's the paper.
Country Courier, yeah. I write a weekly outdoor column for the Country Courier. They're nice folks.
I didn't even notice. I sometimes don't even look at the
author. Well, check out my weekly column. I work hard to write that. I want you to read that, okay?
Well, I appreciate your show, and I do read it, and I will notice.
Okay. Anyway, a sleeping bag was a good guess, but it ain't gonna get you the cap. I'm so sorry, okay?
It's funny. This one's stumping everybody.
I know. I can't believe this. It's taking so long. Anyway, appreciate the call, sir.
Have a good night.
Thank you. You too. All right, that's not the answer. It's not a sleeping bag. It's not a compass. Not a tent.
You have another caller.
We have a caller. Let's say, good evening, caller. You're in Maine Outdoors.
How are we doing?
Good. How are you tonight?
Oh, not too bad. I was going to take a stab at it.
Are you feeling lucky?
Well, I don't know how lucky I am, but I mean, this piece of equipment, I don't know how many people bought it, but it's something that people have used over the years, so.
What's your first name?
Mike.
Mike. Okay, Mike from Howland, right?
Nope.
Oh, I thought you were from Howland. We have a Mike from Howland.
Nope.
Not you. Okay, Mike, where are you from?
From Orrington, but I'm in Bangor.
Okay, from Orrington, okay. What do you think the answer is, Mike?
I'm just going to say Dutch oven.
A Dutch oven? I can't believe. No, that's not the right answer. I'm so sorry. But that's a good guess. A Dutch oven. They make a good Dutch oven, yeah. All right, that's not the answer, but appreciate the call, Mike.
Thank you. Yep.
Okay, take care. All right, this is getting to be a stumper.
You got another caller.
Let's take the call. Good evening, caller. What's your name? Where are you from?
This is Rick calling from Milford.
Rick from Milford. Okay, Rick from Milford. You've got to have the right answer, guy. Go ahead.
It's the Coleman gas stove.
All right.
That had the white gas.
Oh no. What did you say? A stove?
Coleman gas. Well, it's like a stove, but you had to use a little pump to pump them up, to use them.
Oh, it's not the right answer. You came close, though. You're so close. I thought you had it there for a minute.
No. Yeah.
Okay. Rick from Milford, thanks for the call. We appreciate it. Okay, we're going to take another caller here. We're going to get this thing done. We want to know. We're getting close. We're getting very close. We want to know what single piece of modern camping equipment has sold more units since its invention than any other. And I'll give you a hint.
Thank you, sir.
You can get another caller.
It is made by Coleman. Okay, another call. Good evening, caller. Go ahead. You're in Maine Outdoors.
Hello, Mr. Reynolds. My name's Tony from Chicopee. I'd like to take a guess.
Oh, is this the Tony from Chicopee?
That's the anchovy guy.
The anchovy man. Boy, so nice to hear from you, Tony.
Same here, sir.
How you doing?
I never can get a chance. I'm just going to take a guess. I don't want to hold people up. I'm thinking of the lantern, the Coleman lantern.
That is exactly the right answer, Tony. Congratulations to you, sir. That is it.
Well, thank you, sir.
Coleman lantern. And I never thought it would take this long to get an answer, but you've got it, and we appreciate it. And Tony, we're going to send you a beautiful Northwoods Sporting Journal cap. Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Reynolds. Pleasure to talk to you.
All right, pleasure to talk to you, and we appreciate all the good words from you over the years.
Oh, you're the greatest show on earth.
Oh, thanks a lot, Tony. You're too kind. And you got to stay on the line, though, because we need your mailing address so we can mail a hat to your home. And Norm is really busy behind the phones there, but as soon as he's free, if you'll stay right here on the line, we'll get your address, okay?
Oh, I got plenty of time. Okay. Thank you very much for everything, sir. Great show.
Okay, thanks, Tony. Take care of yourself. Yeah.
All right.
That was the correct answer. It is the Coleman lantern. And do you remember we were talking about that before the show, that Norm and I go back a few years. I go back a few more years than Norm. But when we were young, the Coleman lantern was the type that you pumped up. It had a little gasket on it with this little rod that came out, and you had to really pump it up to get the pressure on it. And then it would go for so long, and then as the pressure died off, the lamp would get dimmer and dimmer, and you'd have to pump it up again. Don't have to do that anymore with the modern lights, but the old Coleman lanterns that they first had, those were big, big sellers. Okay, congratulations to Tony from Chicopee, Mass. And by the way, Tony he listens to us by streaming online. He's one of our loyal online streamers, and first time Tony's ever called in, and we appreciate him taking the time to play the game and to win. Congratulations to you, Tony, down there in Chicopee, Massachusetts. Okay, our next guest we're going to get queued up here, and again, his name is Ty Flores. He's an avid hunter. He was recently bagged his first bear, and he's written an article about it, and we're proud to say for the Northwoods Sporting Journal, it will appear in the August issue, which we're working on as we speak. By the way, the July issue will be on the newsstands this week, and we hope you, if you're not a subscriber, we hope you pick one up at a newsstand near you. And let's see. Okay, we're going to hook up with Ty. Ty Flores, he's a mixed martial arts fighter, and he was an amateur. He's now a professional. He's working his way to the top. He's what they call a light heavyweight fighter. And I don't know how familiar you are with mixed martial arts. I know a little bit about it, and I know that it's not something that would be my cup of tea, and Norm agreed it's not something he would like to do for a living. So we'll find out what motivates Ty Flores, who loves to hunt as well as get in the ring and compete in the MMA championships. We're calling him, I believe he lives in Denver, Colorado, but we'll be hooking up with him in a few minutes. Just a quick program note, next week our guest is going to be Francis Brodigam, and Francis is the state fisheries chief biologist, and we're going to get him on and talk a little bit about some new regulations which have been passed with regard to fisheries. And I don't know if you're aware of it, but the state legislature has passed legislation that's going to either encourage or force the Maine Department of Fisheries and Wildlife to figure out a way to deal specifically with invasive species in their fisheries management. So that'll be an interesting interview, and we hope you can be with us for that. He'll be with us next week. I'll tell you a little bit about Ty. I did a little Google search on him, and he's won a number of he's in the light heavyweight division. He's competed in various promotions, including, and I'm not familiar with these, but you may be if you're an MMA fan, the Legacy Fighting Alliance and the MMA in the MMA. We have him on the line?
No, I thought we'd do the half hour.
Oh, we take a break?
The half hour break.
Okay, let's do that. We'll take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll be talking to Ty Flores. You stay with us. Okay, we are back with Maine Outdoors, and we are lucky to finally have a hookup here. Are you there, Ty?
Yeah. Hey, how's it going?
Hey, Ty. So nice to have you with us. We are honored to have you on Maine Outdoors. You may be, we've had a lot of bear hunters on, but the first time we ever had a bear hunter who is a champion MMA fighter. Welcome to our show, Ty.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
Yeah, so nice to have you with us. Am I correct that we're speaking to you from Denver? Are you from Denver?
Yeah. I live out here in Denver.
Yeah. How was your weather today?
Man, it is so hot. It's a pretty dry, pretty big dry heat here, but yeah.
Has it been? Yeah. Well, it's soggy, soggy and wet here in the state of Maine. So it's supposed to get a little better, though, I think. Anyway, let's start out. You've written a really nice column about your first bear hunt, I believe, right?
Yes, sir.
And you wrote it, and you sent it to the Northwood Sporting Journal. How did you happen to hear? We're just kind of curious. How did you happen to hear about the Northwood Sporting Journal?
I'm always reading different publications and whatnot. So I was just kind of searching, also looking for something to get published. So I was looking around, and I'd actually been focused on Maine for a while. It's a little bit far away from me, but Maine's something I've been looking at, like trying to hunt, trying to visit, trying to go to for a while. So I've had my eye on it here for a couple months.
But, well, Ty, let me tell you something, Ty. Okay, I'm an avid hunter, and you're focusing in the right direction. You need to come to Maine, and we'll make sure you get a hunt. All right.
Yeah, and the thing is, kind of as of this summer, I got into fly fishing too. Never been a big fisherman, but I know you guys got tons of lakes, tons of rivers up there.
Yeah, you bet.
So hopefully there's some good fishing up there.
Yeah, too. Our trout fishery is considered to be probably one of the best in North America, other than maybe Quebec. And you can't go wrong trout fishing in North Maine woods, I can tell you. But before we get to your trophy, to your bear hunt, let's talk a little bit about the maybe folks who aren't as familiar with MMA as I am after reading more about it. How did you happen to become an MMA fighter? Tell us about that, would you, Ty?
Yeah, well, interestingly enough, I started off as a soccer player, and I wrestled as well. Was more focused on soccer at the time, I did spend more time doing that. And then I guess it was my senior year of high school, I wanted to do a kickboxing class for some self-defense, and then I'm a competitive guy, so, started doing some jiu-jitsu. Already had a little bit of a wrestling background, and one thing led to another, you know what I mean? I was always way too aggressive for soccer, so it's a wonder that I got into fighting. Got way too many red cards, but it just felt natural. It's fun. I love it.
How long have you been actually fighting professionally?
I turned pro in 2015, I've been fighting since then. I had a couple years where I was still training, but I wasn't fighting, just down in school. I went to school actually on the East Coast, down in Florida.
Yeah.
And it was tough to get a fight. So, but I still trained the whole time.
Yeah. And how old a guy are you?
I just turned 30.
Did you? Yeah. And so you've been at this a few years. What is the kind of a, maybe this is not a good question, but what's the longevity of somebody that does what you do for a living? I mean, how long can you do this? I mean, football players only have so much time. How much time do you think you have to continue in this tough sport?
Yeah, so, I will say, just because you brought it up, football is one thing where it's like, I trained with some guys that were in the NFL, one guy that comes in quite a bit. I'm not a huge NFL guy, but Derek Wolfe trains for us. He was a Super Bowl guy, was in the NFL for like 10 years, so... it's funny you say that. I have some experience with those guys, and that's the one sport I am really glad that I did not play. To be totally honest with you, the CTE, the head trauma is way worse than that. I'm a light heavyweight, and I think the heavier weight classes tend to kind of get better as they age. I think if you looked at the top 10 of the heavyweight and light heavyweight division, I think most of them are going to be over 32. For a while, they were all around 35 or older. So for the bigger guys, it's more about the timing, the power, the precision. So they tend to go a little bit longer. The smaller guys, when they get older and they kind of can't go with the speed or whatnot, I don't think the longevity is as good for them. But for me, myself, it's just, I take good care of my body. I'm all about the recovery and all of that as well. I don't like to just,
you know, do silly things for the, you know what I mean? Like some guys train kind of nuts where they kind of leave their chins in the gym the entire time. So it's, I don't really do that. But I don't know. On one hand, it's like you want to do it as long as you can. But, you know, of course, one day it's going to end, and it's probably going to end sooner than I think. But, you know, I love fighters. You know what I mean? Like I love the lifestyle and whatnot. And so I want to do it for as long as I can.
Yeah, sure. You know what I mean? How many fights a year would you have on your program?
Well, so it depends. I've only got one this year, but last year between, so I'll say December 22 to August of 2023, I had five fights, which is kind of, that's not normal. I was in this tournament with an organization called the PFL. It's the toughest tournament in sports, and you go through the tournament, and it was a $1 million tournament there, and I got to the semifinals. I lost in the semifinals there, but I had two fights right before that, and then I fought again in April, fought in June, fought in August, and it was pretty nuts. And that's why I talk about it in the article, where I'm like, you know, I had a good lucrative year, had a busy year, and I thought I'd treat myself and just go on that bear hunt, because it was I was pretty much in camp just for 9 to 10 months straight, which was pretty nuts.
Yeah. A couple other questions, and then I want to switch and talk about your hunt. One of my questions is, I read somewhere that you guys have to really train intensely before a fight. We're talking weeks and weeks. What kind of physical training do you do? And that's one of my questions. The other question I would be interested in, let's say, I don't know whether you take 4 weeks to get ready for a fight, but you train physically, and what does your diet consist of? I'm interested in what you eat during a training session, during a training period.
Yeah, sure. So a typical camp is anywhere from 6 to 8 weeks. It really depends. Sometimes you get a little bit more notice. I don't mind camps that are not as long. You know, a good buddy of mine that I train with, and I cornered him when he goes to Thailand. He's pretty notorious for taking short notice fights and doing, you know, 3 to 4 week camps. And if he's undefeated, it works out for him. But yeah, I mean, the workouts are, we do some strength conditioning. You got your wrestling, you got your striking, your jiu-jitsu. And I mean, you do train intense, but, you know, to be honest, like this is a big reason I moved out to Denver. You know, I'm from the Midwest originally, where, you know, people from the Midwest are tough, they're good people, but it's just sometimes they use that mentality, and I don't think it's the best for training, where it's like, you know, we got to push hard every single day, but then you get overtrained, and, you know, like I said earlier, you leave everything in the gym. But here it's like, hey, man, if I'm having a bad day or a bad week, like, you know, for example, I was supposed to train Saturday, but I trained 5 days a week last week, and it was pretty intense, you know, 2 to 3 times a day. Training early in the morning, training at night. So then I took Saturday off, because it was, you know, my body's just not feeling great, and, you know, my coaches aren't going to give me any crap for it, because they know, you know what I mean, you got to be an athlete and take care of your body. You know, your time off is when the muscle growth and all that stuff happens, and you need the rest. So there's a time to be intense, and there's a time to kind of pull it back a little bit. So right now I don't have anything on the books. My teammate actually, though, is fighting for the World Heavyweight Championship coming up here the last weekend in July. He's fighting this guy, Tom Aspinall. He has the belt right now. My teammate's name's Curtis Blaze, and he's fighting in Manchester, England. So for him, I've been coming and doing rounds with him, but I usually only do a round with him. You know what I mean? I don't do any extra rounds because I don't have anything coming up. No use in taking wear and tear on the body. So just doing what I have to, you know, maintaining everything. As far as diet, you know, it depends. So like I fight at 205 and healthy, I usually walk around 230. But you gotta eat. The thing that people get confused about is when you lose all that weight, you eat like 5 meals a day, you eat smaller portions, you really fire up your metabolism, and kind of, you know, you gotta know how to do that there. You gotta know how to water load. But you're just eating good, healthy stuff. It's, you know, there's no secret to it. It's,
so you wouldn't have,
you know what good food is, you know what bad food is.
You wouldn't pig out on a big dish of Haagen-Dazs ice cream and a couple of Little Debbie's, right?
Not during fight camp because my coach is pretty scary. So yeah.
Do you eat a lot of protein and salads and stuff that or what?
Not salads. So I'll eat a lot of, like, in the morning I'll do like turkey bacon, egg whites. Controversial take. I actually think turkey bacon tastes better than regular bacon. I know people think I'm like saying the moon's made out of cheese when I say that, but it's good. I'll do some avocado, and then throughout the day it's like chicken, maybe some black beans or whatever. It's just as long as you stay under the certain calories, right? So it's like I can eat things that are a little not what you'd expect, right? I can have some bread, I can do whatever, but it's just you just gotta have less of it. You just gotta stay under that calorie load there and you'll still lose weight.
You know, the things you're eating are things my wife loves that I can't stand. Avocados and black beans. Ooh.
they're not my favorite. No. But they're not awful. Yeah. You know, the one I really hate is spinach. I have to do it to cut weight, and I can't stand cooked spinach.
I don't like. My wife puts that raw spinach on salads. I hate that stuff. Oh, anyway,
it's so gross.
Well, okay. So, have you ever gone to a fight feeling you weren't quite ready for it physically?
Actually, the one fight I had where I didn't feel like I was in shape. I fought, it was right before I did this tournament. It was in Dallas last year. I fought this guy who was actually an All-American wrestler, and I ended up just out-wrestling him. Wasn't a very exciting fight, and he cut me open, but I won. But it was, I took it short notice, and I was like, sure, this guy looks like a beautiful guy. But to be honest, I was like, man, I am not in great shape right now. So that's why, that's why it's important in between, you know, and it's, but I've been traveling, cornering teammates and stuff and whatnot, and, you know, I was pretty busy, so it wasn't like I was being lazy, but it was, you know, I was just busy.
Now, when you were a young guy, I got one quick question. We're going to take a commercial break here, Ty. When you were a young guy, maybe in middle school, did you get a lot of fights with other guys, or were you not a fighter back then? Or you got to be.
I don't think I got in any more fights than any other kid did, you know. I think the issue was in sports I would get into a lot of fights.
Yeah.
Where it was, you know, I get my adrenaline going up. And look, I love soccer. It's fun to play, but, man, soccer players are just, you know, they picked at my buttons, you know. Pushed my buttons. It wasn't very hard. There's a lot of time I got some cards playing soccer.
All right. We're going to take a short break to make a buck here. And stay with us, would you, Ty?
You've been placed on hold. Please wait for your contact to return.
Not sure what that was.
I don't know what that was.
I hope he's still there. We'll be right back, Ty. We just want to remind our listeners again that this show is sponsored in part and has been for many years by General Appliance and Brewer, the place to go for all of your appliance needs. Whether you're talking about ranges, refrigerators, they have a complete line of both new and used appliances, gas and propane as well. General Appliance and Brewer, they're located at 103 Center Street in Brewer. They've been sponsors of this show for many years, and we patronize them and urge you to do so as well. They stand behind everything they sell, they service everything they sell, and they really have a very good inventory of appliances. So if you're in the market for a new or used appliance, be sure to check them out. General Appliance and Brewer at 103 Center Street. They have a phone number if you want to call and see what they have available. The number there is 989-3714, 989-3714, and you can ask for either Tracy or I think it's or Gary Coleman, who's the boss over there. General Appliance in Brewer. Check them out. You won't regret that you did. Okay, do we have Ty still standing by?
Yes, we do.
You there, Ty?
Yep, right here.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Okay, let's talk a little bit about your other favorite pastime, of course, other than being in the ring, is hunting. What type of hunting have you done before you did a bear hunt?
All types. So I'm out here in Colorado, so I've done elk. You know, I'm from the Midwest, so we've done a lot of
whitetail.
I've done a lot of deer hunting. I went to school down in Florida where I got really into wild boar hunting. And, you know, I'm primarily a bow guy. I hunted right now too, but with the wild boar, I got a dog there in college where we used it with a dog and a knife, so I've done that. And I've recently got pretty big into small game hunting. So last year I did the World Championship Squirrel Cook-Off in Bentonville, Arkansas.
No kidding.
So I got real big into squirrel hunting, and that's no joke, become one of my favorite types of hunting. So
yeah.
I'd probably put that in my top three.
Yeah. Well, you got before it's too late. Make sure you get a trip to Maine and do some whitetail hunting. We got some big woods.
That's,
big woods here, and you and I, something you and I can talk about sometime. Yeah. All right. You went on your first bear hunt, and you in Maine we hunt over baits. And there's always a controversy about whether it's, you know, fair chase or not. And I, having done a lot of bear hunting, I can tell you that it's an undeserved myth that it's a piece of cake. It really isn't. Hunting bear over bait is challenging as well. But you wanted to do it by hunting over natural bait. Tell us about your hunt and how it went, would you?
Yeah, absolutely. So, look, I have nothing wrong with bait or anything like that, but... And again, like you said, it's a lot harder than what people think. But, you know, a big reason I moved out here, it wasn't just for fighting. It's, you know, I was a flatlander in Missouri, and, you know, we got some beautiful country there that, you know, I've always wanted to go out to the mountains and do some mountain hunting. And when I was out there, I mean, I wanted to do exactly that, you know. You can't hunt over the bait where I was at, but, you know, I wanted to go out in the mountains, chase it, kind of ambush it, look at some... learn to track, like see what they do, look into their habitat. And where I was at was just so beautiful too. You know what I mean? And we were kind of, the guide I was with, and I'd never hired a hunting guide before. We were just driving these old logging roads, which, you know, hey, I'm not going to hate on it. It was a fantastic way to cover a lot of ground and whatnot. But for me, it just kind of felt a little empty. You know what I mean? My first bear, I wanted it to be something special. I wanted it to, you know, kind of mean something, just have a little bit more fulfillment. And you know what I mean? Like it's one of those things, like, you know, I fight professionally. I love to hunt and I love to kind of do things on my own. So I was already kind of weird about hiring a guide. And then I'm like, oh, well, this guy's like chauffeuring me around in his car. You know what I mean? Like this doesn't feel great. You know what I mean? Like you've heard the stories of the guy from Jimmy John's that like, they scout the elk for him or whatever he's after. They find it. They call him. Then he drives out there and shoots it. Like, that's not what I wanted. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
you wanted a challenging hunt, sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And I got kind of frustrated, talked to my guide about it. And so that's what we did. You know, we ended up going in the early morning. It was funny. He was actually asleep. I was falling asleep too, in fairness. But we were hanging out on this cliff face. And it was really cool. I was doing that thing. I do this in church all the time. So, but where you kind of fall asleep and you nod awake a little bit, you know. And I was doing that. And as I nodded awake, I saw a bear just walking through these huckleberry bushes. And it was actually really cool. I think he was headed towards this honey. Like someone had put out, they were making honey up there. They had some bees. And he was about 120, 130 yards away. And we were on this cliff face, and I took a shot with my 30-06, and I got him down. You know, he did his death moan, all of that, which was, like, kind of crazy. You know what I mean? It's, on one hand, it's pretty sad, but it's also beautiful. You know, I'd never heard that before. but it was good. Like, it was good because I knew that I'd had a good shot, and he wasn't going to run far. And it was real, real thick out there, so I'm glad he didn't, because that's the last place you want to be with a wounded bear. And it was kind of cool because, you know, I moved my shooting sticks and it made a little scrape and he had looked right at me and I thought that he saw me and it was over. But when I went down to where I shot him, it was so misty up there. Like there was no way he could have saw me. And, that was on like the third or fourth day of my hunt and it ended up being a good one. You know what I mean? Like I got what I wanted to do. It was definitely memorable. I'm getting the bear skin rug done and, I mean, I probably ate that bear every day for 7 months, and you know, my family had it, my friends had it, and anybody that would listen. It was awesome.
Yeah, didn't you find were you surprised at how good the bear meat was?
Yeah, it really tastes like it tastes like really good beef.
Yeah,
right. It was really interesting.
It sometimes bear meat gets a bad rap because it isn't taken care of, but. If you take care of bears, it's pretty darn good eating, yeah. Well, congratulations.
Well, I killed so many pigs. So.
Yeah. Congratulations on your hunt. And we certainly appreciate you taking the time to talk with us. Your article is called Beyond the Trophy, and it will be featured in the August issue of the Northwood Sporting Journal. We'll make sure that you get a copy of it. But if you decide to sign up, that'd be all right, too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. And again, it's been a pleasure to talk with you. And if you find out what your fight schedule is, let us know, and we'll tell our listeners about it.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm hoping to get on that Dana White's Contender Series here this this fall, so I'll let you guys know beforehand, and I'll let you know if I ever make it up to Maine. That's definitely on the bucket list here.
Okay,
soon.
Well, you have an invitation, and we can talk about it later off the air if you like, but I have some ideas for you. We'd love to have you come to Maine and do a hunt.
Yeah, absolutely. Count me in.
All right. And again, thank you so much for being with us. We really appreciate it, Ty, and you're a good man. You're doing some great stuff there, and we were talking about it's not something we would want to do for a living, but you obviously enjoy it, right?
Absolutely. You would not get punched in the face for a living if you didn't like it a little bit, right?
Yeah, you bet. Yeah. Okay, I think, are we out of time there, Norm?
We have about 30 seconds.
About 30 seconds. Thank you, Ty, again. We appreciate you being with us. Good luck to you, and stay in touch, okay?
Awesome. Thank you guys for having me
on. All right, and good hunting and good fighting.
All right, thank you.
Take care. All right. That was Ty Flores, who's a champion mixed martial arts fighter. We were talking to him. He was in Denver, and we appreciated him taking the time to be with us. Next week, our guest is going to be State Fisheries Chief Francis Brodicum, and he will be with us to talk about the things dealing with fisheries in the state of Maine. And that's about it. We appreciate you being with us, and we'll see you all next week right here on the Maine Outdoors.